Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Bikaji Foods International Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this call is being recorded. With this, I now hand the conference over to Ms. Hazel Rathore. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us for Bikaji Foods International Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. From the management, we have with us Mr. Rishabh Jain, CFO, and Mr. Manoj Verma, COO. I now request Mr. Rishabh Jain to take us through the key opening remarks, after which we can open the floor for the question and answer session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much for joining the call. From Bikaji lens, me and Manoj have joined the call. We have seen a strong quarter performance with a strong 15% growth on consolidated basis and 11% growth on standalone basis. From the last 6 to 7 months, we have seen good demand improvement across each month on month. If you see a third quarter of last year, we have been at 5% to 6% growth versus last quarter was good, and this quarter on month-on-month basis, we have seen good demand recovery across each rural as well as urban. Also, we entered into a festivity, and festivity is always big for us. Big sweets play an important role, and we are just closing July, and this we have seen good demand from each from sweets as well as all ethnic snacks perspective. So we have seen good demand and see good sign of good second quarter going on. From bottom line perspective, this quarter we have seen one of the best quarters in the last many quarters, where overall from consolidated lens, we are at 35% gross margin. With PLI and without PLI also, it's close to 33.7%. On standalone basis also, 33.6% gross margin on without PLI, with PLI, and 32.3% gross margin without PLI. So from a gross margin lens also, we have seen good, strong performance in the last 4, 5, 6 quarters. So basically, also from third quarter, from third, if you see from third quarter last year, we have seen, we have gone far ahead, and we have seen good gross margin EBITDA improvement. We also this year, we have seen a good rain, good crop, and raw material has supported us being all key purchases and key purchases, edible has also softened. So this has also played an instrumental role in improving gross margin. On timely basis also, we increased the prices of key ethnic snacks as well as special snacks. So in last 2 to 2.5 quarters, we increased prices between 2.5%. That has also helped us in regaining our margin back. From EBITDA lens, overall from control basis, we touched EBITDA close to 14.8% and without PLI 13%. So close to 15% EBITDA with PLI. And from standalone basis also, we are just close to 15.8% EBITDA with PLI and close to 13.5% EBITDA close to without PLI. So from standalone or standalone lens also, we are touching close to 13.5% to 14% EBITDA. This quarter marks the instrumental equipment like we are also then JV with initiated and taken approval from board for JV with one of the biggest group in Nepal. Nepal, that strong partnership building capability and talent. So basically, Nepal CG Group is one of the biggest company in Nepal. They have one of the best distribution, and we see Bikaji being there with partnering with them will take a great market share in Nepal in coming year. And we see good business coming on in next 3 to 5 years. So
yeah, besides this, as we said that now we would be in our distribution game. So we have added further about 15,000 outlets in last 3 months, taking our direct coverage to 3.26 lakh outlets. In terms of our marketing initiatives, as we have committed and budgeted 2%, so in line, quarter one is relatively a low spend quarter, and quarter two becomes a very high spend market for quarter for our marketing spend. That continues our investment on digital marketing, which is social media, platform, and we were there all across. Also, this has been a quarter where we've initiated on certain NPDs which are there in the pipeline and have very recently got launched. People talk about the healthier snacks. The Millet Bhujia, right? Just a brand extension of our Bikaneri Bhujia, Millet Bhujia is what we have launched this quarter. Talking about our growth, so overall volume growth is 7.5% for the quarter. Revenue growth 14.2%. Ethnic snacks, which is our core category, has grown at 11.2%. Packaged sweets, which looks pretty low at this point in time at 3.1%, but this is a seasonality, a season business. Therefore, which is going to get recovered in quarter two. So is Western snacks at 4.2% revenue growth. Papad, a small category, and we pick small, slow only, so which is at 5.8% growth. The way we look at our business, which is core focus in other markets, so core has grown at 8.5%, focus market at 11.5%, and other markets is at 26.5% growth. Exports has done extremely well with a 60.3% market growth, revenue growth. In the last quarter, our family packs have grown by far higher than the impulse packs, which is 5 and 10 rupees pack. The family pack has delivered a 15.8% growth, whereas impulse packs are at 8.2%.
From top line lens, so we address top line of close to 663 crore rupees at growing at 14.2% compared to last year. Overall, from quarter-on-quarter, this is also we're growing at close to 7%. Versus EBITDA from, if you see from last quarter, we're growing at around 30% from EBITDA lens and touching 96 crore rupees EBITDA in this quarter. That's all from the presentation. We are happy to take all the answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Abneesh Roy from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congrats and it's a good recovery in both volumes and margins. The first question is on the family pack versus impulse pack. So family packs are growing 2x of the impulse. Generally, we see in FMCG that currently, although there is some recovery in terms of the urban demand initial times, generally downsizing is happening and smaller packs are growing faster. So is this a conscious effort on your side that you're offering more value to customer at family pack? Because impulse packs are very important from a recruitment purpose and for the overall market share purpose. If you could clarify any one-offs here and how have you seen the market leader, have they also seen family packs grow faster than the impulse pack?
Thanks, Abneesh. To the question, if you look at the small pack or the impulse category pack, it's not that they have grown slow in terms of category. It is what we have, we could have done better on the impulse pack side. So that's one, to your, straight to your question. Now, the reason for that has been that there has been, you know, what we have witnessed from the market, that lots of small and local players. So huge discounting and all that stuff has happened in this 5 rupee pack primarily, and which is what has helped the category grow. But from our, as a, in terms of our conscious call, we didn't get into that, those price wars and all that stuff, which is also on the back of, if you look at relatively low growth on our Western side. But how we look, see is that come this quarter two onwards, this should get back to normal. So not that we have done differentially higher on our large pack. It is by virtue of our brand strength, our distribution, and our availability across channels that the momentum continues.
One clarification here, it's mostly regional players which are more aggressive in the Western stacks, or even the Pepsi of the world or ITC. And second is, Western stacks is around 10% of your business, broadly 9.2%. So is that Western stacks is mostly in the 5 and 10 rupee pack for you?
Yeah, so Western Snacks is, yes, primarily 5 and 10, and we also do have large packs for modern trade and all that stuff. But then that's a limited space in that stuff, so 5 and 10 is certainly great into it. And in terms of your question that the large players, which is in likes of Pepsi and ITC, so if you put together these two companies, their market share in, say, Western Snacks would not be more than 50%, even less in that stuff. Right, so there is a huge room. And that's where the regional and local players play pretty strong.
Understood. My second question is on the three laggard categories in your core business, which is 76% of your business, ethnic snacks, you have done quite well. In the three smaller categories, which is a bit counterintuitive, your growth is below 6%. You did explain the Western snacks and you said it will come back on track. In packaged sweets and papad, in the new states, is this a focus area? For example, in focus states, are you also driving packaged sweets and papad? Generally, what we are seeing, these two categories are a bit volatile in number. I understand packaged sweets is linked to the festivals and marriage season. But is there a drive to take this to new geographies, or is in the existing geographies only where most of the business continues to remain for these two segments?
No, so papad goes everywhere and so are the sweets. We've been calling and we take pride in saying that we are the second largest papad manufacturer in the country, handmade papad, up to after legit papad. So this is not just in the core states, this is across the country and even in the exports market. Right? But it so happens that papad, again, during seasons and the wedding season, so the demand of sweets and papad goes obnoxiously high during these wedding seasons. In fact, in the times we have witnessed that we run short of capacity for papad, most importantly. This time, what has happened is that the number of wedding dates or the weddings were less than what it were in the last or previous year. So therefore, it's reflecting in papad. Sweets is a matter of time, and as Rishabh just spoke, I mean, you'll see a surprising number coming in quarter two sales for sweets. So, immediate recovery will be.
Sure. Last question. So, Nepal, why do a JV? Almost every Indian FMCG company is present in Nepal. You don't see too many JVs. Why not go 100% on your own? Second is this 5 crore loan which you have given to Bikaji Bakes. Could you clarify on that? What exactly is this business? And lastly, on the two store addition which you have done, from 13 stores quarter on quarter, it is becoming 15. So if you could discuss, is this basically your acquisition hazelnut where you have added, and any insights that you can share of your own store, how they are doing, and hazelnut, are you happy now because two quarters have gone? Because generally most retail companies in the QSR space are not seeing good times at all, except maybe Domino's one exception. But broadly, this case is extremely challenging currently, and if you see the software job addition also, TCS is delayed, and overall job addition in IT sector is low. In that context, would you slow down your store addition in hazelnut and in terms of your own store?
Yeah, so we'll take your question one by one. So starting from your first question, which is on JV in Nepal. So Bikaji as a brand is pretty old and pretty strong in the Nepal market. But the challenges what we were facing was that there's huge custom duty or the import duty which was there and which was making our product non-competitive. So that was the reason that we thought of having a JV and eventually start producing there and selling there. So that will make our product much more competitive and will leverage the brand strength what we have. Talking about the JV company, which is CG Chaudhary Group, who owns YY brand, and this is the highest distributed Maggi or FMCG brand in the country. So that's what we are riding along with this CG Group. and we see a huge growth potential initially just by making our products available in length and breadth of the country, and second by their cloud and their strong presence in the store. So that's the sole objective of having this JV exclusively for Nepal market. Now talking about the loan and the other stores, I would hand over to Rishabh.
So from in this quarter, we added two stores in THF, as in a special. So basically, THF is doing extremely well for us, and we are largely satisfied with the performance what they are doing. And this year they will open close to 8-9 stores more in next 9 months. So they will open a store in a month size, like. So by end of this year they will be having close to 19-20 stores, and largely in UP and NCR area. So we are then the number on in last 6 months they opened store, and we are seeing good results coming in each quarter, each retail outlet. So we are seeing good numbers versus and as well as profitability at overall level in retail also in THF, and we are largely satisfied with the investment what we have done. And from Bikaji lens, we opened one store in Rajasthan this year, and we will open 3-4 stores more in the pipeline. And we are also seeing good results coming in from them. So from retail lens, we are not pure proper QSR. We are into a major focus in each retail chain is into package namkeen, package sweets, gifting that contribute big numbers in our overall QSR. Like you see in Bikaji also, like we are often in Bombay where close to 55-60% sales come from gifting sweets and our package namkeen bhujia, where we display complete range of Bikaji products. So that's a major focus for us in US in our retail QSR outlet. So that's one, number one. And number two, from Bikaji Bakes lens, it's a 100% subsidiary of Bikaji Foods, focusing on making some bakery items. We are already into biscuits, and a small portion of us are into biscuits, but yeah, bakery is doing good in India, and we see good potential. So that's a small investment what we'll do, and we'll focus on doing crossover and everything. Small bakery investment, that's what we're doing.
What brand and mostly e-commerce for bakery?
Mostly e-commerce, yeah. Mostly e-commerce.
What brand? Bikaji brand.
Yeah. It's early to say, but yeah, we'll come. Sorry?
Yeah, you are saying something, you'll come back.
So, what exactly? Of course, it's currently in Bikaji brand. That's all.
Understood. One last follow-up and I'll end there. In terms of easy foods, they do have a reasonable presence in some states through YY Noodles. Through a non-equity, I'm not asking on equity partnership in India, through a distribution synergy in terms of YY Noodles and Bikaji getting distributed in some of the Northeast, etc., is that a possibility? Because they do have some reasonable presence in some states.
We are having very strong presence in Northeast. In Northeast, we are holding plus 55% market share in Assam, right? So we hold a very strong position, and we don't see any collaboration with India as of now. It's just a Nepal city.
So thanks, sir. That's all for me.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Nitin from MTS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I basically wanted to have more insights around month-on-month demand recovery. Can you throw some light? And additionally, you have answered to the previous question around some of the markets where discounted players have emerged. If you can call out any specific market, and you are hopeful that in Q2 things will be back. So how those noises are emerging? Can you please help on that?
So we have seen good demand recovery in the last 6-7 months. Like you see in quarter 3, October, November, this quarter was tough for us and for the industry also. But from Feb onwards, we have seen good recovery. Like April was little dull because we didn't good. So March was good, so April, but May, June, July, we have seen good month-on-month recovery in demand. And being we are entering into festivity, we see good demand recovery across each state, each core as well as focus state in our overall city.
Okay, thank you. And in terms of this discounting which is going on in part of your portfolio and recovery in Q2, how you are confident that the discounting will go down, or are we taking some actions here?
We're not clear on terms of discounting. What is the exact question there?
No, so you were highlighting that, particularly Western snacks, there has been
Oh, okay.
Discounting.
No, so, okay, so I think, so it's not about discounting, it's about their selling price. So they offer lots of, you know, offers and all this stuff, right? So what happens is that these are the mushrooming kind of a subject that's not sustainable. And which is what, so I will upweight our rupees 10 and all that stuff, but yes, we certainly will not go the discounting way or trying to, you know, match prices and all. That's what we'll never do.
Okay, okay, thank you. And my second question is around your gross margin recovery. So just for PLI, it is at around 34%, which is a healthy level. There is a sequential recovery of 225 bits. So can you help me understand the factors which have aided gross margin recovery? And also a comment around sustainability of the margin ahead would be helpful.
So basically, it works both ways. Like we also increased price in last two quarters, and also raw material has supported us. So both, in both ways, it worked us in our favor. And also we done some saving program in the organization, which is running for last 9 months. And so that's where we are majorly focusing on few products which are high in gross margin. So multiple things are going on to improve the gross margin. Currently we are close to 35% gross margin at control level, but overall at standalone level also we are higher gross margin, and we see that in next 9 months also we'll be at the same we'll be maintaining the same gross margin what we see right now, unless we see any major disruption in our oil, edible oil also. But we will in next 3-4 months we've seen good crop, good rain in our core state like Rajasthan. We have crop for major raw material, and we've seen good rain this year, so we don't see any major changes in raw material prices what we are buying currently.
Yeah, this is helpful. And one last thing in terms of your presentation, when you highlight raw material prices, so this is the spot prices you highlight, or is it like consumption price? The index will be provided.
Consumption price.
Okay, so that way, like palm oil prices was for my calculation was around 131 rupees Q4. That has seen a moderate correction to 128.
Right.
So whatever the duty decreases and the easing in palm oil prices has not benefited us.
So we'll see in quarter two something, because we have some stocking has been done. So we'll see in quarter two, but yeah, raw edible oil price will remain at the same level. We don't see any major changes because fertility and demand is good this year. So we don't see any major correction in edible oil. It will be at the same, largely same level what we have seen in quarter one.
Okay. So you don't think that whatever the QC reduction has happened, that will flow into the numbers? So palm oil prices basically will stay here, and the margin.
Palm oil prices came down, but we use multiple oils like palm, cotton, rice, and so palm has reduced, but other oil has not reduced much.
Okay, got it. This is really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Mrunmayee Jogalekar from Asit C. Mehta Investment Intermediaries. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you for the opportunity.
The line for the participant has disconnected. We'll move to the next question. The next question comes from the line of Vishal Dudwala from Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, am I audible to you?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so I just have one question about your second half of this year. As with Diwali and the festival season, like rural post-harvest demand and anticipated easing in commodity cost, what are your key volume and margin assumptions for H2?
So, if we look at Diwali and when we talk about this, so this primarily we have covered broadly in quarter 2, and then the leftover would be quarter 3, right? So, gross margins, the way we look at, I mean, the guidance what we have given, we will stay within those numbers.
Like, any new festive SKU launches are you are piling up in your plan on that?
No, so nothing is such. It's about our gift boxes. So, every year we come up with some new designs, it's the assortment, different packs and all that stuff. But otherwise, if you talk about any new category, no. The packs, you will see some better design, some little bit change, tweaking in that stuff. I mean, that's what we certainly do to keep up the excitement and engagement of the customers.
Okay. Okay, like that's it from my side as of now. I will wait in a queue.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Darshit Vora from Asit C. Mehta Investment Intermediaries. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah, you're audible.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. So, first thing being that we, what is the timeline and what kind of internal target are we expecting for the volume to come up to double digit levels? We've seen about 3/4 of single digit increase. So, any visibility over that?
So we've seen good demand recovery across month on month. So, for the rest of the year, we see at least 9-10% volume growth. That's the plan. And that's numbers we are looking at.
All right. 9-10%. And that would be more towards the second half.
More towards from quarter to quarter.
From quarter to onwards. All right. And about this Nepal JV that we have done, can you give some kind of details with respect to, say, capital outlay or some kind of a timeline for ramp up of distribution or some kind of revenue potential that we have in mind?
Yeah. So basically from Nepal perspective, so we'll jointly open a plant in Nepal where we'll invest close to 30 crore rupees jointly. 15 crore rupees will be outlay from Bikaji and balance will be from there. It's equal 50-50 JV. And currently our top line is under 20 crore rupees and we see good potential as brand is very strong there, but overall due to custom duty and all, we're not able to supply in Nepal market. We see good potential coming up and using and driving distribution of CT Group YY, and we see at least 50 crore rupees top line in the next 2 years. That's the target possibility.
50 crore of top line in the next 2 years.
Yeah.
All right. And finally, just from my side, in the previous quarter, you had mentioned that our margins were, gross margins were expectations of around 30-31%. This time around, we've come at 33 plus and we hope to maintain that, sustainably in a way. So how do we plan on doing this given the, already, taken initiative?
So, on full year basis, what we see that on standalone basis, we see at this gross margin of 32% plus. That's the target what we are taking on standalone basis without PLI. So, and we are on track of it here, of doing the same.
Alright, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Shirish Pardesi from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi, Manoj Rishabh. Thank you and good afternoon. Just a quick question on the Nepal. The per capita consumption in Nepal for Hindus is about 7 kg. Do you have any data? What is the... Because I do understand YY is practically about 100% distribution. So, and it's a very strong noodle market. In that context, you might say that you have the right to win. But then I was more curious, what is the namkeen or maybe non-Western snack kind of consumption, if you have any data to support?
So, hi, Shirish. So, Nepal, as such, I mean, we don't subscribe to Nielsen data, so would not be able to answer, you know, in this state one number. But certainly what we can tell is that looking at the markets and visiting these stuff and all, so this seems to be clearly about 600-700 crore market kind of a stuff, right? That's what we look at it. And when we look at competition and primarily from these Indian manufacturers such as Haldiram, Bikano, they're pretty much strong there and there's a consumption base there. So that's what we see. And when we look at internally, simply put, so currently our distribution was lacking. We were more towards India border side. That's what was it. And now if we were to go up Nepal, that one is the transport cost, which makes things expensive. And second thing is that someone is to build a route to market. So the objective of this JV is to leverage on their route to market and brand, which is already established brand, push that brand there. So that's what it is. And as the as Rishabh said, in terms of our business opportunity, we can more than double in next 2 to 3 years time.
That I understand. I was just more curious because in the press release you have said that you will manufacture, trade and do the marketing spends. So obviously you should give some number that there is an investment of 30 crore. But then is manufacturing is going to solve the distribution problem? Because if the market is very large and if there is already established players which are there and you have been selling some quantity from India. So I was more curious, what is the number which you, I mean, the 50 crore number on the prime office, it looks very conservative. But then if you can tell me what is the export business we have done in FY25 to Nepal?
Yeah, so that's what I'm, to your question again, Shirish. Let me bring to the table, the import duty is 55%, which makes you less competitive in those markets. So this would help us ease down on those numbers and therefore ability to invest behind building a business goes as much. That's one. Second is, if you look at Haldiram, has also done gone the same way. They have also done a JV partnership there, and so is what Bikano. So top three players from India are these three. So they already are already they've started or about to start. That's what is the status.
Okay. Coming back to India business, just quick question on the PLI. What kind of PLI you have factored in for FY26?
So for FY26, we have factored close to 50 crore rupees PLI in our books. So it will divide equally in each quarter.
Okay. And just last question on Hazelnut. What kind of revenue momentum we can expect exiting quarter four in this year? Because obviously there is a lot of money.
So quarter four will be type of 100 crore ARR. That's what we'll see.
Okay. And any color, because now you're settling down, so margin exit, when you do 100 crore, what kind of gross margin you will achieve?
So this year will be a lot of expansion. So major focus will be driving growth and driving opening stores this year. So maybe next year will be 8-10% EBITDA. This year will be largely 4-5%, 4-6% type of EBITDA.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Rishabh, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Hatim Brochwala from JM Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my question is that currently all the input commodities are now correcting. So whether there is scope for us to cut on the product prices to drive volume growth?
Yeah, of course. I mean, look at how competition is moving. If we were to drive volume growth, so those are the measures as a business and as the steering committee in our company, how we look at it. So we certainly evaluate and we keep doing these things as the commodity price increases.
But is there an opportunity without impacting margins, I mean, current margins?
Of course. See, this we'll only do if we have that ability to invest. It is not at cost of margin. I mean, so there is a target of improving bottom line as well. So it is not by eroding margins and we give some extra offers, that lot. So as you started that, as we see the ease in commodity prices, that's what we will pass to the consumer. And we have done it in the past as well.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Tuisha from Rare Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are.
Yes, ma'am.
So my question is regarding your new product launches, in particular the millet bhujia. If you can please share any kind of commentary on how the market response has been and what you think the opportunity could be for this healthy snack segment, and if you have any more healthy snack launches in the coming quarters that you've planned. Thanks.
Yeah, so I think it's too early to comment on this millet bhujia because it has just come out, and so we will be doing some pilot stuff and we'll be riding on these QCon channels and all that stuff. distribution would get built over a period of time. But the primary data, what we can say is that when we launch, so there's a huge product testing what we do, and it has come out very well, and that's what was the panel, and that's how the panel gave clearance to launch it up. Talking about the healthy food, so one is there's nothing called healthy food. You may say healthy snack, you may say less unhealthy. That's a better way to put that stuff. So we also have a range of products which are roasted namkeens and all, healthier namkeens and all. But the market still is very, very niche. So as much voice what we hear about healthy snacks, if we go down the consumer, that in India, Indian market at least, it is not as much there. I think it will take about 5-7 more years. That's when people will be talking even more about the healthier snacks, and companies would then start focusing on that stuff. But in to be future ready, we have a range of products which are in the amongst the healthier ones.
Okay, sir. Thanks. That helps.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Aditya Tambi from Havrock Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So, I just wanted to get some updates on like the frozen food segment that you are planning to export from India. And there is currently the market leader which already does it. So, any color on how it is happening, if we are able to get into stores or gain some market share?
Yeah, so on the frozen food, this we do not sell in Indian domestic market. This is primarily for our export business. And this frozen part has a huge share of business in our export business. So the upwards of 35%. That's where it is. And that also would have been better if we had our capacities earlier, because we were also outsourcing it stuff. So that's where it is. But the way we have built our capacity, and this again we call it being future ready. So as in when the country or the channels are matured enough to maintain and sell these frozen products, which meets end-to-end cold chain, that's when we shall be launching it in Indian market. But not in the next couple of years is what. This would be an export business product only.
Right, sir. So just like to follow up on that, how can you just clear on how the market is changing? Like if someone is already storing a competitor's product, then how do you convince them to go for Bikaji instead of them, or to keep both of them in their stores?
So today, if you look at any categories, the categories are highly fragmented, and you will see a lot of players playing around and within the store itself. So their exclusivity no more exists. That's one. Now, how we'll do it is one in terms of course, we have to be consumer preference. So therefore, if your product doesn't taste well or the quality not up to the mark, you will never get a repeat. What we also do is that we do some branding activation in these stores, which is a stimulus for a retailer to keep and place our product, give visibility of our product. Third is that the clout what we have. So in the stores where we already are selling Bikaji products, this becomes an addendum to the list what they have. So this is how we go about it. And also what we realized was that many a times we ran out of stock. I mean, we did not have, was not having ability to supply the orders, because we were also outsourcing. During the season time, if you look at, that's where the demand is highest there. And in the yesteryears, we were struggling. Now, if you see a number speak louder than what I would say, if you look at our quarter one export business growth is outstanding, and this is what has helped us deliver.
Right, sir. Thank you for answering. Also, sir, on the Hazelnut factory acquisition, like you already alluded that we are adding one outlet per month, that is what we see. But how do you see this over 2-3 years or 5 years phenomena? Do you see this as only as a tier one opportunity, or like do you plan to scale this up faster, or like after this year we might go lower on these store additions? how do you think about this?
So store addition would will continue to drive on our direct coverage. What happens is that may not translate into indirect coverage because it will be a diminishing return beyond the point. But when you cover directly, your clout on the store or ability to sell range is always high. So what we are looking at it is that now currently we are at 3.25 lakh outlets. The target what we have is to exceed 3.5 lakh outlets by end of the year. But year on year is what we shall be adding 50,000 outlets. That's what is the target what we have for ourselves and should reach to 500,000 outlets in our direct coverage. That's the target what we have in next 3 years.
Right, sir. But so also on the Hazelnut Factory, the acquisition we did. So what about that store addition?
So from Hazelnut lens, what we see that this year is a major expansion, what we done, what we'll do this year. But next year, from next year onwards, they will open 500 stores every year. That's the target.
Okay, thank you. And also, we were focusing on our focus phase. So, like, do we have any updates, like, if there were any market share gains, like, if we could see some wins in these focus phase, like, any market share gains that happened over last 1-2 quarters?
So, across all six focus states, there's a movement upwards of market share gain across states. What happens is that in, and so is the numeric distribution as well. So both these metrics have moved up. It's in the, there are certain states which are now close to 6% market share as well. So 5.8%. For example, Chhattisgarh, if you look at, which is one of our focus states. Karnataka, if I speak about, is upwards of 3% market share. So there are certain movements, and so nowhere have we seen that it is not slow, simply put.
Okay, sir. Thank you for answering. I'll get back in with you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Priyank from Bellum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. I'm sorry if I missed out the content calling, but I understand the problem with excluding acquisitions.
Sorry, the voice is not audible.
Hi, sir. Is it audible now?
Hello.
Yes, sir,
it's audible now. Cool. Sir, sorry, I would have missed out. What would have been the volume growth excluding the acquisitions in the standalone business? Would it be 5, 5.5?
Close to 6%.
Close to 6%. So the research, though, the additional, I think, the extra offerings that we had given last year, would ease out in the base by September quarter, right? So till that time, the volume growth would undershoot whatever aspirations we always had about 12-13%, right?
Right. So last year also quarter 4 of 25, we have seen full volume growth of 10% extra that we have run. In quarter 1, we started slowing down. So from quarter 2 onwards, we will see good volume growth. Because in quarter 2, there will be no extra granite in last year number.
Understood. No, because till September quarter, we had a 15% volume growth, and I was assuming that there would have been...
Yes, you are right.
Even a few, yeah. So for the full year, for the first half, we would have a single mid-single digit volume growth, and for the second half, the aspiration continues to be double digit. Is that
yes.
What we should see?
Yes.
Got it. And the question on the operating cost, when we look the total operating cost in terms of per kilo, how should we model it out for next 2 years? What should be the trajectory given the distribution reach that we are expanding, given the size that we are reaching? What should be the operating cost per kilo trending going ahead?
So basically, we don't see business as a operating cost per kilo year on year or month on month basis. We see as a key cost. We measure key cost, right? Logistic cost is big for us. Employee cost is big for us, and manufacturing cost. So we see each cost is a big 5-6 points are there, which are big for us from cost perspective. and we are majorly focusing on bringing more efficiency in each cost line. So currently we are in the expansion phase. So be it in employee, we had a lot of expansion, lot of addition in employees as well as frontliners in sales in last 2 years, and results will have started coming in last 2 quarters, and we'll see a lot of improvement in employee cost as well. Number two, so manufacturing cost, we are doing a lot of energy, we are moving to solar and everything. So we'll see efficiency in each cost measure. Plus also we are currently close to 50% utilization. So running plant at lower shift or lower utility is always a costly affair. And when we have fixed every fixed employee cost, all costs are fixed. So once we start raising this capacity and take this to 70-75%, we'll see at least 0.3 to 0.5 to 50 basis point improvement in margin every year for next 2-3 years.
Sure. So I mean, I understand. We just have, if I have to, you have multiple cost line items, but if I have to look forward for a total other expenses excluding employee cost, is somewhere around 14-15% of your sales.
So what we see, at least, it will be improving 0.50 basis point each year. So from other expense lens, you will see there are like a few costs which are sitting in like consultancies or many other third-party costs and third-party manufacturing costs, which will see improving in coming 2-3 years.
And for this year, should we consider 50 bps or starting 27 only we should consider 50 bps?
Starting 27.
Starting 27. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Dharmil Shah from Delmis Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. The first is on the competition. You mentioned that whenever the raw material price increases, largely from the local players. So just wanted to understand, are these the unbranded players which can compete in such situations, or these are the regional brands that primarily compete with these?
So these are primarily local and regional brands, so it will not be a national player's role in that term.
But not the unbranded ones, right?
No, so unbranded also. So, but unbranded is what you cannot measure. But the data what you get is for the local and regional players. So you see their presence, their discounting much higher than what it used to be earlier.
Understood. Coming to other steps, I mean, I know it's a very small part of the overall business, only 10% of the total business. Which states specifically are moving as fast as it, and is this growth, I mean, what is the growth driven by primarily?
Sorry, can you please repeat the question?
For the other states part of the business,
yeah.
I know it's a very small business right now, but what states specifically are growing within all the other states?
So in fact, when you see the kind of growth what we've delivered in other states, it's a game of all states doing well. But yes, to your question, it's like West Bengal, like Maharashtra, Gujarat, these states have done very, very well.
Right. Understand. This is primarily because of increased direct outlet coverage, right? Or if there's something else?
In the other states, our strategies that we are riding on model states, we are riding on e-com, that's what it is, and then we are riding on BP, make the stock is distributors, and they drive this distribution there.
Understood. And lastly, very broad question, but there is a lot of buzz around obesity drugs in India as well. These are very pricey drugs right now, but once these are made accessible to the mass population, do you think snacking companies will have any long-term risk in terms of changing consumer trend, maybe over the next 5 to 6 years?
So we will take it as it comes, but for now, if you look at as we export to several countries, and countries like US where these laws are, or the statutory requirements are even more stringent, and we abide by all of them. So we are actually ahead of time. But I mean, if it comes, it will be true for us also, and we'll live up to whatever is expected in that case.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take this as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thanks, Hazel. Thank you, friends, for taking time out. Hopefully, we answered the questions to your expectation. Just in case if you feel any of the question was not well explained or does not bring in the clarification you were looking for, please reach out to us. We'll be glad to take the questions separately as well. Thank you once again. Bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Bikaji Foods International, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.